First published in 2022, Cleopatra and Frankenstein is the debut novel from British-born, American-residing novelist Coco Mellors. The novel became a sleeper hit, having initially been released to very limited marketing budget and very limited fanfare, but went on to be something of an online viral sensation, picking up in particular lots of popularity on platforms such as TikTok. This was no doubt helped by an incredibly stunning cover, which shows a painting of a woman in vivid tones of pink and beige, with a somewhat morose look on her face. The novel is set in 2007 in New York City, before the financial crash, and follows the lives of not just the titular characters of Cleo and Frank, a age gap May to December romance between a young British woman and an older American man, but it also follows the lives of their friends. And in many ways, this is the unexpected strength of the novel, because through the narratives of their friends, you get some insight not just into Cleopatra and Frank and their life, but much more interestingly into the lives of characters who in another novel would just be peripheral, somewhat crudely drawn, sometimes even stereotypical depictions of a Latin American chef who's somewhat overweight, or the gay best friend with intimacy issues and potentially substance abuse issues, and so on and so forth. But what Coco Mellors does with her novel is she actually gives some of these characters their own chapters, and there you get to see her real skill as a writer, in my opinion, which is her ability to draw vivid, realistic characters from multifaceted points of view. In fact, this is quite interesting in a time when there is a continuous debate about who can write from which point of view. I believe that anybody can write any point of view, and I think that Mellors really demonstrates well in this novel why that is the case and how that can still bring something so powerful and visceral to the page. So the novel begins on New Year's Eve when Cleopatra and Frank have an almost sweet and cinema perfect meet cute at a New Year's Eve party. And then we skip forward to see the complex ways in which their relationship has developed. And then we start to follow them as this relationship inevitably meets some challenges, some bumps and scrapes along the way. It is, in my opinion, a romantic story rather than an actual romance. And if you read the book, you will understand why. But nevertheless, there are times of real romantic magic in this book. I would say in particular in Coco Mellors' way of writing. She is really a great writer with really, really beautiful text and really beautiful prose. There is a running narrative through this book, a particular sentence that comes back again and again, which is in and of itself so beautiful and so vivid. That sentence is, "When the darkest part of you meets the darkest part of me, it creates light." And Mellors has said that sort of for her, this motif was at the cornerstone of the idea she was trying to portray throughout her novel. Last month, Mellors was in Berlin for the launch of the German edition of her book, and I was lucky enough to attend the event and hear her talking about the book. And some of the most interesting things I found that she said were actually about the ways in which this novel was full of characters that had so many of her own issues. She is now a recovering alcoholic, so sober, has been for a few years. She felt that she wanted to set the book in pre-2008 New York City, because that was a time when people were not on their phones constantly. She also felt, as somebody who herself has lived in New York City for a lot of her life, that it is a city where it's very easy to hide addiction, something that she found herself. She said she actually came to revelation of her issues while writing the book, while realizing that these characters who were just like her had a problem. She felt that that era was sort of halcyon days, were the words she used at the book launch, a perfect time before we all became overly engrossed in our books. And she also wanted to create in her novel the feeling of being in Manhattan from the incredible night out to the way you feel the next morning, full of confusion and regret and patchy memories of what came before. I think that her characters do display that really well in the ways in which people are very much, you see their internal dialogue, monologue, and the way in which that really contrasts sometimes with the external, or I would say more pressingly with how they are perceived. I felt this especially in the character of Frank's sister Zoe, who was for me a very difficult character to like, but she certainly made sense. She definitely made sense, especially as the story progressed. Mellors said that she feels that New York is full of a lot of people who are lonely and are afraid also of being ordinary. And I think that's sort of one of the most interesting aspects of these characters, because it's true that so many of them, in almost their desire to not be ordinary, they make themselves cliches. They make themselves into, you know, the cliche of the spoilt rich kid working on a creative project that may or may never come to fruition, or the privileged man who seems to have it all but deep down is not happy and so drowns themselves in drink, or the pretty girl who actually doesn't deep down feel that good about herself and finds herself therefore in uncomfortable situations constantly with men who are looking to exploit her perceived naivety. I think that one of the most powerful things that she did with this book was her use of various points of view. And what she does here is not only give you this fantastic feeling for these other characters. My personal favourite was a friend of Frank's, a chef. I thought his chapter was beautiful. But also she decided, she said, to experiment with this. And so I know that looking at reviews and discussions online, one of the most, and Mellors herself said at the book launch, one of her most popular characters is a character called Eleanor, who works with Frank. And what she does with Eleanor's chapters is a very experimental style of creating the chapters. It's linear, but it's almost in bullet point. Mellors said this was intentional. She thought, I have this huge book of 300 pages and I can do what I want, and with these chapters I want to try something different. And it really works, and I think a lot of people would say, you know, they really resonated with the character of Eleanor just because of who Eleanor herself was, but also because of the ways in which this style of writing these chapters made you feel something different than you would feel in a normal, he said, she said, quotation filled chapter. I actually could see, or in my opinion, it seemed to me that Mellors was trying to do with this chapter, and she said she had been influenced by others but didn't say who. I would posit that perhaps she was influenced by what is personally my most favourite chapter of any book ever, which is the sections in Zadie Smith's novel N.W. which are about Keisha / Natalie. For me, those chapters are some of the that section of that novel of N.W. is one of the best things I've ever read in my entire life. And here with Cleopatra and Frankenstein, I was really, really reminded of it in Eleanor's scenes, in Eleanor's chapters. And I would, for this alone, I think the book is worth picking up. So I think that this novel deserves the hype. It's beautiful. It is full of incredible, lovely, lovely text. I highlighted so many passages in the book because it wasn't just about what she was saying so often, but about how she was conveying this, the words that she used to convey this. I have heard some people say that they feel, because initially I think with the hype and some of the minor marketing or perhaps just the hype from other people, people were trying to align this book with Sally Rooney's Normal People. And to that I would say, first of all, you know, I need to add the caveat that I personally don't think Normal People is that amazing. I gave it 3 out of 5 stars. It was fine. It was pleasant enough. But I don't understand actually why it has become such a sensation. But, you know, horses for courses. I didn't think it was a bad book. It's just fine. So I don't personally think that a comparison with Normal People is necessarily any great praise anyway. But I think actually the Normal People comparisons are far, far less about Coco Melles's book and far more about the ways in which people are very lazy when it comes to categorizing the work of anyone who is not a heterosexual white Western man. And so as a very young, I think Melles is barely 30, as a very young woman, the easiest thing for people to do is quickly look for another young woman to compare her work to. Whereas in reality, if they were to give her the same respect that we might give to, you know, a new male author coming out into the world, where they're given a bit more nuance and believed to have a bit more personal creativity, I don't think we would be running to make these Sally Rooney type comparisons. It just happens to be two young women writing novels about complex relationships in a contemporary setting. Beyond that, I personally can't find any comparison between the two at all. So, and therefore I think it's unfair to read people saying, I was promised this was going to be like Normal People, but it's nothing like Normal People, and this book is rubbish in comparison. I think that what those people are missing is this book was never trying to be like Normal People. It's its own thing. And actually, if you read it completely separate from outside perception, then you will find an absolutely incredible, fantastic debut novel. It took her 7 years to write, and although that initially sounds like a shockingly long amount of time, I mean, a novel takes however long a novel takes, let's be honest, but it's evident that it's been worked on. It's evident that it wasn't just slapped together and just sort of put on the page without thought. There's clearly a lot of thought that has gone into the essence of this work, and I would say those 7 years were not wasted at all. So that would be sort of my stance on the wider discussion around this book, basically. So yes, I absolutely would strongly recommend picking up Cleopatra and Frankenstein. Don't read it as a trendy book of the moment, new Sally Rooney type thing. Read it as a piece of literature that wants to tell you something, get you to empathize with the characters, the various characters you come across. Not like them, necessarily. That's not her aim. Her aim, it seems more, is just for you to know them. And in that regard, I think she's really, really succeeded. I think it was maybe Harold Bloom, I'm not sure, who said that novels are empathy machines. And if a novel is an empathy machine, then this novel Absolutely is a top tier one that has really, really, really achieved its raison d'être. I'm going to end this review by just reading one of her little quotes from the book that I thought really encapsulates her style, her writing style, and what makes her novels so, her novel so well written, in my opinion. And it's this passage, this very, very small line here. Love looks through spectacles that make copper like look like gold, poverty like riches, and tears like pearls. So that concludes my review of Cleopatra and Frankenstein by Coco Mellors, who also I can confirm, having met her at the book signing, was an absolute darling, nicest person I have met since I met Jeffrey Eugenides the week before, who was the nicest person as well. And so yes, so that's everything I have to say about this book. If you've read it and you love it, then get in touch. I'm not a big social media person, but I do have a Instagram floating around somewhere. You can even just email me, whatever. But yes, if you love this book, then tell me what you thought. And if you haven't read this book and you enjoy literature which really makes you feel things for the characters, whether positive or negative, then I strongly recommend you take a look at this book. So thank you very much for listening. Goodbye.